You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Matthew Quick's novel Silver Linings Playbook was adapted into a critically acclaimed, award-winning film about a man released from a psychiatric ward who tries to reunite with his wife. It starred Bradley Cooper and, in an Oscar-winning performance, Jennifer Lawrence. Mr. Quick's latest novel, The Good Luck of Right Now, is about a man grieving the loss of his mother and trying to build a new life. And he does it by writing letters to Richard Gere. Yeah, that Richard Gere. The book is published by Harper, and I'm pleased that it brings Matthew Quick to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You've written a number of young adult novels. Could this be called a stunted adult novel?
It might be. It might be. I think it's a late coming-of-age novel, yes.
Well, your protagonist, Bartholomew Neal, was still living with his mother at the age of 38.
Yes. And you know, he's really forced when she passes to kind of go out into the world for the first time, which presents him with many problems, but also many wonderful opportunities as well.
You have adopted an old form to tell your story. This is an epistolary novel.
Yes.
What got you thinking about having him cope with his grief by writing letters to Richard Gere?
The thing that got me thinking about that was the fan mail that I've been receiving. I got my first piece of fan mail when I published an essay in a magazine called The Sun out of North Carolina. And I remember I was so excited. And I remember opening it up. It was in response to an essay I'd written called One Cigarette a Day, which is about my grandfather passing after a battle with emphysema. And the letter said, you know, "Dear Mr. Quick, I read your essay, One Cigarette a Day. I used to smoke when I was in the Army in Korea, and therein ended any reference to my work or anything else." It was this long letter about this person's life, the work he had done in the government, and it ended with this mathematical equation that was supposed to prove that deep space travel was possible. And it looked like a legit equation. And I remember feeling kind of disappointed that it wasn't about my work, but I also was fascinated about why someone would write me 5 pages about their life and their life's work.
Well, obviously they feel that they have connected with this person for one way or another.
Yeah.
And that's what happens with Richard Gere as well?
Yeah, and I think so. And as I've received letters over the year, I almost feel as though people aren't writing to me when they write me a fan letter. They're writing to some type of concept that they have of me, and that makes them feel safe. It's almost like throwing a penny in a wishing well and never expecting to see it again.
Well, how did you come up with Richard Gere? You could have written to any number of people.
I came up with Richard Gere because
Bradley Cooper, for example.
Well, yeah, I received a letter from Richard Gere, and it was a free Tibet form letter. I came home one day, and my wife very playfully said, "Someone famous sent you a letter," and this is before I had brushed up with anyone in Hollywood, and my heart was racing. I said, "Who could it be?" And as soon as I opened it up, I realized it was a form letter, but I read the whole thing anyway. And I started to wonder, why am I reading this? Why am I so fat? You know, why is it that a celebrity's name can get me to pay attention to something in a way that just a stranger could not?
Has Richard Gere told you what he thinks about being in your book?
He has not.
Would you want him to be in the movie version reading Bartholomew's letters?
We've sent, through DreamWorks, we've sent a copy of the book very early on to Richard Gere's people. So he has it. There is casting going on right now for the film with DreamWorks, and unfortunately I'm not allowed to talk about that, but it is definitely on our minds.
And I'll bring it up a little later.
Sure.
In connection to some other things, but let's talk a bit more about the book. Bartholomew describes his mother in a very loving way in his letters. For instance, what does he report about her comments on his intelligence?
She often says, you know, people will call Bartholomew names and put him down, and she says, the world measures intelligence in the wrong way. You know, you're not being evaluated in the right way. I remember, I think it was Einstein who said, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a ladder, the fish is always going to feel as though it's a failure. And I think that's really what we have with Bartholomew, is he has these talents. He has empathy and a great emotional intelligence, but so often society doesn't value those things.
But he's also clueless in a lot of ways, and Pat in Silver Linings was also somewhat clueless. I mean, he's clueless about his relationship. I don't want to give away too much, but his relationship with the beloved parish priest, Father McNamee.
Yeah, he is. He's very accepting. In some ways, he views the world with childlike naivety. But that also gives him a unique perspective so that he sees things that other people don't see. For example, when he falls in love with a librarian, he notices the way that she treats the books. She's never rough with the books. She puts them back gently. She's very careful with them. And he values that.
He calls her a girlbrarian.
Yes, which she's not fond of that term.
Well, I mentioned that he could be clueless, and speaking of clueless, didn't you teach high school English literature?
I'm not sure why that well, invokes clueless. I'm afraid to answer now, but yes,
no,
I did.
No, well, I mean, so students sometimes can have a weird take on things, and you say the students responded to the novels you taught in deep and surprising ways.
They did.
What were you teaching?
I primarily taught American Lit. I taught an accelerated class in Haddonfield. And these were brilliant kids. And I saw again and again that each novel was like a key that fit different students. You know, putting the bell jar into the hands of a 16-year-old girl can be a transformative experience, especially if they're struggling with depression or cutting. You know, for some kids, The Catcher in the Rye changed their lives. For other kids, it was Invisible Man. You know, there was a different book for each kid. But once you got that book into their hands, they would open up. And the responses that would come out, I found that kids would write responses in literature and open up about themselves in ways that they wouldn't even with their parents or their best friends.
Well, was it a book for you? Because I know you've talked about how the film Little Miss Sunshine had an impact on you when you were in graduate school.
Yeah, I mean, to answer the first part of the question, there are many books. You know, I grew up in a working class neighborhood in the suburbs of Philadelphia where the men in my life didn't read novels and my friends were not reading novels. And I remember being assigned, I think it was 10th grade or 11th grade, reading The Old Man and the Sea by Hemingway and realizing, you know, for the first time, really what metaphor was and how powerful that was and that there was this whole other language. I also realized that there were men in the world that were willing to emote and put their emotions out there for people to see. And that was so freeing for me because I was repressing so much as a teenager. And, you know, so when I found literature, it was really kind of like the beginning of a coming out for me.
And you realized right afterward that you wanted to write?
I knew I wanted to be a writer at 15, 16. I started right then. I was terrified and I never showed anyone my work. And, you know, I didn't have anyone in my community that really had connections in New York or L.A. So I don't think anyone would have believed that I would make it this far back then. But there was something in me that, yes.
My guest is Matthew Quick, whose latest book is a novel called The Good Luck of Right Now. It is published by Harper. And I mentioned that you also said that Little Miss Sunshine affected your writing. In what way?
When I was a graduate student at Goddard doing the MFA, I was doing my thesis on Gao Xing Zhen, the Chinese Nobel laureate, and his book Soul Mountain, which is an absolutely beautiful book, which I love. It's influenced me in so many ways. But in response, I was trying to write very highbrow literature, which I love. You know, I love highbrow literature. And but there was a time when I went to see Little Miss Sunshine and I was in a theater and I was loving the film and my wife was laughing next to me. And I said to myself, these are the types of stories that I really want to tell, that I feel are in me, you know, that are authentic for me. I come from, you know, a working class, you know, neighborhood. I wanted to tell stories that the people from that neighborhood would enjoy, that would reach those people. And so it was really a transformative period that I went, you know, from kind of being embarrassed about my side project at the time, which was the Silver Linings Playbook, and I was fearful that maybe it was like too commercial, to saying, you know, maybe this is the type of storyteller I want to be.
Well, too commercial. You had a hard time selling it, didn't you?
You know, I did initially. It was rejected by, I think it was 130 agents in New York City.
I wonder what they're saying to themselves now about it.
Yeah, I try not to take too much pleasure in that. But I often say finding an agent is like dating. You know, you can go to the bar for 100 nights and not, you know, on night 101, you find the person that's right for you. And my agent at Sterling Lord, Doug Stewart, has just been amazing. He gets me and everything came together as soon as I met him.
Well, how much do you know about dating? Didn't you meet your wife when you were 19?
I did. Yeah, I did. You've really researched. I'm impressed. Dating actually fascinates me now. I love to hear stories about it because, you know, I've been off the market for quite some time.
Back to Little Miss Sunshine. I know you don't want to talk about the film, but I've heard that its directors, Jonathan Dayton and Valerie Faris, might make a film version of this book. Is that synchronicity another theme that runs through this novel?
You know, it's had me scratching my head. You know, the fact that they were drawn to the project and they are on board. I'm supposed to meet with them next week in L.A., and I'm very much looking forward to that. You know, it's funny because synchronicity has come up in my life over and over again, not only when I was writing this book, but also in my professional life. My agent, Doug Stewart, always says to me, he says, Q, like, things just work out for you in the strangest ways. But I like to think if you put your best into the world, sometimes, you know, the right people show up in weird ways.
And that's your nickname, Q?
Yeah, and my students gave me that nickname. And initially, I did not like it at all, but it just kind of followed me, and I've embraced it.
Well, the title of the book is something that Bartholomew's mother used to say to him. What does the good luck of right now mean?
The good luck of right now, according to Bartholomew's mother, is the idea that when something bad happens, something good must happen somewhere else to equal it out. It's kind of about balance in the universe. And so she uses it as a way to offset the pain of tragedy. So when something terrible happens to them, they think about the good things that are happening elsewhere.
I've heard that when you're writing, you kind of really throw yourself into your characters to the point that you get seriously emotional. And you've said that you fell into a depression while you were working on Silver Linings novel because it was about depression?
When I wrote Silver Linings, I was telling myself that I was writing a book about the Philadelphia Eagles and, you know, male bonding. And, you know, after I published it and the mental health community really embraced it, I did, you know, I psychoanalyzed myself a little bit. I realized that I was using it as a way to talk about openly for the first time my own personal battles with depression and anxiety, which I talk about very openly now. But for 30 years, it was a very private thing for me.
But then while you're writing, I understand you sometimes burst into tears. I assume your wife accepts this as part of your normal behavior.
Yeah, my wife knows everything about me, and you know she is wonderfully supportive. I need to write with the door closed because in the neighborhood where I grew up, men didn't cry. You know, it's still hard for me to emote in front of other people, but I'm definitely a very emotional person.
How did the good luck of right now play out for Bartholomew when it came to the girl Brarian? The woman he had a crush on.
I don't want to give any spoilers.
Believe me, I've avoided a lot of spoilers.
I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, I think that when Bartholomew is forced to go out into the world and, you know, really interact with people, a lot of synchronicity happens. A lot of things come together for him in strange ways. And I've been saying, you know, on book tour that sometimes when you allow yourself to let go and be the leaf in the cosmic stream, sometimes the weird people show up in the right ways, and sometimes, you know, things work out.
Now, you've written a number of young adult novels, as I mentioned earlier. This one could not be recommended to young people because one of the characters uses the F word every other word. But
because we all know that young people never use
that
word.
They don't
right?
know what that
they
word
don't
means.
Know it, yeah.
But what determines whether you write a book about a kid who's decided that he might want to bring a gun to school or a book like this?
You know, I don't really see a big difference between my young adult work and my adult work. The primary defining difference is that for a YA book, my protagonist has to be a teenager. You know, the person that goes to the story arc has to be in their teen years. But I approach it absolutely the same. And my teen readers tend to read my adult and my YA. And my adult readers sometimes, you know, in secret read my YA. But, you know, I think that they cross over quite seamlessly.
Matthew Quick's young adult novels are sort of like A Rock Star, Boy 21, and Forgive Me, Leonard Peacock. He has also written, as you probably are aware, The Silver Linings Playbook, and now The Good Luck of Right Now. It is published by Harper. And Q, thank you so much for being on our show.
It was an absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.